Hi, I'm Princess Rara.
And I'm Dara, the Electro Khaleesi.
And this is Pink Kink, the podcast where we talk about the pretty,
twisted side of kink. Today's episode is produced by our electrifying pink kinksters, the ESW, Jay, Tempest, Brianna Lynn, Daddy J, Fabe, Embers, William P, Lady, Claire, Savage Heart, Mr. N and Mrs. Jess, Mistress Good Girl, Lady Blooding, Blue Aries, and Sea Dog 87. Pink Kink runs off the generosity of our devoted patrons.
As a patron, you will become a member of our special Discord server, receive some adorable Pink Kink stickers, as well as have access to a monthly behind-the-scenes podcast. In addition, our impactful and electrifying Pink Kinksters get special audio and video episodes. And finally, patrons at our highest tier will be recognized as producers, both here on the podcast and on our website.
If you would like to become a patron, you can visit us at patreon.com/pinkkinkpodcast or click the link at pinkkinkpodcast.com.
We would like to introduce an amazing company that has joined the Pink Kink Podcast as an affiliate. Thank you to Leather Etc. for joining our pink world. Whether you've been getting kinky for years or just looking for something fun to bring to your relationship, Leather Etc. has what you're looking for. Leather Etc. offers high quality gear, so your fun will not be ruined with chafing, sharp edges, or broken hardware. Lose yourself completely in the adventure because you can trust in the quality of their products. Struggle all you want in their restraints because their high quality hardware is virtually unbreakable. Much of their gear has no metal on the wearer's skin, and that means it won't cause discomfort and is even better for those with nickel allergies. And if properly cared for, your gear will last a lifetime. 95% of Leather Etc.'s restraints and collars are handmade in San Francisco by a staff with over 200 years of combined experience. They start with the highest quality leather hide and stitch it together by hand using techniques they've learned from over 35 years of being in business. That's why their gear is the highest quality you'll find anywhere. And now you can save 10% by using the code PINKKINK at checkout. Plus, you get free shipping on orders over $50. So what are you waiting for? Grab a pair of handcuffs or a collar from Leather Etc. Use the code PINKKINK, save money, and see the difference quality gear can make. Leather Etc., made with love, for love, since 1985.
So I don't know if you know this, but the world is a pretty big place.
No.
It's pretty big. And with this new internet thing that the kids are talking about these days.
What's that internet thing?
I don't know. I've never used it myself, per se. I don't even know what it is. I need to put my teeth back in because I'm really old. Anyway, the world is big. However, it's more common than ever now to find your significant other using the internet. There's apps for dating. There's apps for just finding hookups. There's simply, you know, being a part of the same Discord group. There's meeting people on, I don't know, FetLife.
FetLife.
Then you become partners. Isn't that what you did?
I met my first Dom and my second Dom through FetLife, yes.
Right. So it's not just go to a bar anymore or go meet them at a party anymore. There's
more often
lots
than not,
of options.
It's not the norm.
I met my current husband on an app, so I have no problem with that. But I have also, I had a sub that I met on World of Warcraft, and it was a 3-hour time difference. I had a Dom that I also met on World of Warcraft, and that was a 14-hour time difference. That was fun.
Oh, must have been an adventure trying to
that one. Somewhat difficult. You know, there's all kinds of ways to do this.
I met my first Dom. We were long distance, and then I relocated. That's how I ended up here in Virginia.
Well, thank goodness. Yeah, we kept you. That's just saying. So a lot of people now meet each other through online type forums, games, communities, even webcam services.
Well, it's especially too when you have the niche interest of kink.
Yes. Then and it makes it even more interesting.
Because you can't exactly just walk up to the guy or girl or non-binary person sitting next to you at the bar and go, hi, so are you into kink?
Hey, so I noticed you're wearing handcuffs. Are you a prisoner or are you kinky?
Right. And now with collars being like a fashion statement, you can't even see that and know that that other person's into kink.
So I'm usually pretty good about my kinkdar. Yes. Like, I usually can see a person who's either A, going to be cool with it or is into it. I actually did that to a person recently and I was like, you are my people. I know you are my people. I'm not going to mention how I knew they were, but I knew this person was one of my people and now we're like really good friends. But I also have made mistakes identifying people.
Oh, that, I bet that's funny.
Yeah, I have a story about that. I was at Michael's gathering.
Because we always meet kinky people in the middle of Michael's.
You'd be surprised.
I mean, if you were at Home Depot, I'd say, yeah, you meet kinky people at Home Depot all the time. But Michael's?
I have gotten kink supplies at Michael's. Like, they're, if you get a metal cake crafting kit, okay. Not the plastic, it has to be metal. Yeah. Fabulous for electro.
See, I don't think in terms of electro.
Okay, but I'm saying, you could get wooden spoons and a spatula there. They have a baking section, and you know that counts too. There was a person there who was wearing what I would consider little gear. Turns out, they're not little, and they were kind of disgusted.
Oh no!
And then she goes, I'm not kink shaming or anything, but, and I'm like, yeah, you are. Because you're offended by the whole concept of being a little. And
anytime somebody says anything followed by but.
Yes. I'm like, I can tell now. My bad. I'm not coming back when you're working ever. But there was some stuff that I'm like, damn, that person's little. So, for example, like the little beaded bracelets, certain hair wear, lots of frilly barrettes, stuff like that. And I'm like, damn, this person's definitely a little. And then it turns out, no, they're not. I don't really care. I wasn't embarrassed about asking her, but I'm just saying mistakes can be made. That was my point. Anyway, back to my other point. Long distance relationships are a thing. It's very, very prevalent right now. I've had a few. Rara has had a few. So now we're going to tell you all about them.
Yeah. And even just within the recent hellfire that was 2020. Oh, Jesus,
do we have to? Okay. Yeah. No, I see where you're going with this.
Even people who weren't long distance by actual distance had to transform their relationship into long distance type of relationships because they couldn't see each other.
If they weren't cohabitating, it ended up being long distance, even if they were kind of on the other side of the town.
Mm-hmm.
It was really difficult. So who knows? Maybe more people than we know had something of a long distance relationship over the last year.
Right. And for some people who are easing their way into kink, starting off just as an online long distance relationship is a way for them to overcome fears or nerves and do it.
Definitely.
FetLife has an entire group for long distance, both those who are in one and need advice, because I've been part of that group, and those who are seeking just an online relationship. Mm-hmm. So we figured, since Dar and I have both experienced long distance relationships, that we would sort of give our advice on what to do, what not to do, and how to do it.
A lot of phone sex.
I've done, well, we didn't have Zoom at the time, but we did a lot of video chat, Skyping.
Yeah, I haven't had a long distance relationship with Zoom either. Definitely a lot of phone sex, though.
I mean, it's like, how do you stay connected? How do you make sure you find time for each other when you've got a 14-hour time zone difference? That makes things interesting.
Yeah, that was difficult fuck.
So long distance relationships, again, it's another situation similar to poly. Long distance relationships are hard enough, but now you're going to throw kink into the mix.
Again,
and things get more interesting.
I feel like to me, it's just the same thing. It all comes down to communication.
There's that word again.
We keep using that word.
I know. Is that crazy? Like, you should communicate with your partner. All right. So step one in a long distance relationship, the first step is communication. So sit down with your partner and discuss everything.
Yeah.
That could potentially be an issue. And don't discuss it by text, people. This is my two cents. If you can, video chat is the best because then you've at least, you can look into each other's face and facial expressions, as we know, really helps. I mean, listening to it, if you can't do video chat,
then at least speak on the phone, because as we know, things can get misconstrued during text. You can't tell tone.
I'm gonna just go ahead and say, with the person who was kind of my dom with the long distance relationship and the 14-hour time difference, we did not video. I have, in fact, never seen his face.
Ooh, really?
To this day, I have never seen his face.
See, and this is the difference between you and I, because for you, it's the voice.
Oh my God.
So as long as this person's leaving you voice messages, you'll be happy. Well, I am such a visual person. I mean, as we discussed in this last episode, I have a fetish for muscles. Not that my partner has to have them. It just doesn't hurt. It does hurt if I'm lucky, but, yeah. But I have to, partner, I still have to see somebody.
My partner does not have to have an accent. But holy hell, is it a plus?
See, it's like muscles. I don't have to, but boy, does it help. Yeah, but I need to be able to see the person.
Listen, hearing just his voice, the sexiness of it, the accent of it, I wish I had a clip that I could play, because that alone would send me into subspace.
Yeah, I need to see. As I said, if you can't do it through video because time differences are too nuts.
Oh God, that was, yeah.
Then you still want to try to do it through voice. I mean, I have voice messages going in Instagram so that we don't have to type it out. We can use voice, because then at least you can hear the tone of somebody versus the mistakes that happen when you are just doing by text, you know? So you need to discuss, what kind of time difference are you dealing with, and how is that time difference going to impact your relationship? 14 hours is a lot worse than 1 hour.
Or three. I've done three before.
I've done the sir that I talked about in our last episode was in Bosnia. So, and I at the time was living in Arizona.
Actually, come to think of it, my very first actual serious relationship ever was a 1 hour time difference. I was in Virginia. He was in Illinois. He took me to prom, so it was okay. He flew out.
Yeah, 1 hour would be easy. I was struggling with the 3 hours between daddy and me. But with sir, he was a soldier who was stationed in Bosnia. So it was an adventure.
I wasn't in a relationship with this person because we kind of put that on pause. But I did have communication with the soldier as well. And it wasn't just the time difference. It was his job. It was tough. It was really tough. So another thing is, what kind of equipment are you working with? Because you're not in the same place. So you can't just bring your equipment over to that person's house.
Right.
You have to rely on your own stuff.
You do. You want to talk about, how often do you need to be apart? Can you see each other? Do you need to see each other? You know, some people might want to keep it online and never, ever meet. And that works for them. Other people may say, you know what? I know with my first relationship, it was like, we want to make sure at least every 3 months we see each other.
Right.
Every quarter.
And for me, let's see, my 3 hour time difference sub, I saw him one time for an extended weekend. That was it. And the 14 hour one, never saw him.
And then let's say you make plans not to see each other. Who's paying for things? Ugh. There's gas in the car, which right now is expensive. There is airfare. Where are you going to stay?
Their place or a hotel?
Right. And who's paying for the hotel? I mean, you want to have all these things worked out before you start the relationship.
Oh, yeah.
Because there would be nothing worse than you get into the relationship. You start to care about each other. And the other person says, well, I'll see you, but you have to pay for all this. And you're like, well, wait a minute.
What if you can't?
Exactly. So you want to talk about that. You want to talk about rules. What kind of rules would you be interested in having? Will those rules work with you guys being long distance?
Will they work if you get the chance to actually meet? There might be a different set of rules for the long distance part versus the actual being in person part, if that actually happens ever. So yeah, there's a lot of stuff that needs to be discussed. What about punishments and reward systems? How do those get different? That one's actually particularly difficult, I think, because if you're in a long distance relationship and you're not seeing each other all the time, you have to trust that the person is going to give themselves the punishment if it's a physical one, for example.
Right. I mean, even just following the rules, because yes, even if, as long as you're not living together, whether you're long distance or across the street from each other, if you're not living together in the same house, how does your partner know whether you are following rules or not following rules?
It's a lot of trust.
And you're right, with the punishments, are they going to follow through and actually do the punishments? I mean, we're going to suggest some potential punishments that you could prove, because you could take video, you can take photos.
Right.
You know, what level of discreetness needs to be respected with the people? Can I broadcast to the world that so-and-so is my dom?
There's also job-wise, you know, a 14-hour time difference. I'm usually at my job when he's asleep, or when I'm coming home from my job, he is just starting it. The next day, he's in the future. So, yeah, it was actually. He was 14 hours ahead, so he was in the future.
Same thing with Sir in Bosnia.
Yeah.
Luckily, his job, he had the night shift. Mm. So he was working at night, and we would do a lot of talking during that time.
Yeah, mine was working for a particular company, so it was definitely a day job with a lot. Well, there was a lot of extended hours, workaholic and everything. That was another problem. So there was no way for me to just, hey, I'm going to randomly voice call you right now. Couldn't do it. There had to be a specific time in order to do that. And that was part of our rules.
Yeah, there's so much planning involved. And so you need to plan for the planning.
Oh, yeah.
Right? You want to talk about what would be the rituals that you're going to follow and how will that work, especially with time differences. So once you've discussed all this and you figured all this out, write it down. Put it in writing. If you want to call it a contract, call it a contract. If you just want to call it a plan, call it a plan. But have it in writing so that both of you can see it and you can go through the list and check off. Yes, this is what I've agreed to. Or no, this isn't. We need to adjust this. And make it so that there's no questions. This is how we are going to do it. This is the plan. Now, keep in mind, everything you come up with, you're probably going to want at least a plan B, if not a C, D, E, whatever.
Okay, not everybody needs that many plans, Rara. Just because you do doesn't mean everybody else is crazy.
Okay, look, I got a plan M. So, you know, I'm not saying go that far. I like a structured world, okay?
Okay, and those of us who are a little more flexible and easygoing.
Look, I can be flexible.
Oh, I don't know. I know that because right here in our little list, it says put a flexible plan into place. She put the word flexible.
I planned for my flexibility. Look, I can be spontaneous as long as you let me know in advance and I can plan for it. I can totally be spontaneous.
No. You keep using that word. I don't think it means what you think it means.
What's wrong with planning?
There's nothing wrong with it, but when you call planning spontaneous, you have a problem, okay? Just saying.
Okay.
Okay? Back me up here, peeps.
Look, I'm not spontaneous. It's not my strength. But if you need something planned and organized, I am your person.
Listen, there is a difference between spontaneous and flexible. Flexible simply means you can change your plan and you can go in a different direction. You can have plan B, C, M. Whatever it is that you've got. And Rara's idea of flexibility is going to be, okay, plan A didn't work. Let me go to plan C. Nope, that's not going to work. Hang on a second. All right, plan C, D. Okay, so that one works right there. We'll
flexible.
Go with that one.
That's flexible.
Technically.
I will take technically.
That's flexible.
I will take technically.
It is not, however, spontaneous.
No, I'm not spontaneous.
In my job, in my vanilla job, I have to be both. I have to be able to literally come up the plan on the fly if this particular one doesn't work. I'll have my plan A. And I might have a plan B for, you know, a different situation that may arise. But a lot of times I'm faced with stuff where it's like, neither one of those is going to work. Okay, let me come up with something else. And I have to do it very quickly. Put that into a relationship. You also kind of semi, not in your case, but have to be able to do that. You have to be able to be both spontaneous and flexible. If something isn't working, work it out.
Okay. But if I just have in my back pocket all these potential ideas, that works too, especially if I have like 26 of them.
Okay, look, as much of a vocabulary Nazi as I am, I'm telling you, you may be slightly leaning toward flexible, but you're not spontaneous. I don't think you know how to do that.
Whatever.
Anyway.
Whatever.
My point is, you should be able to kind of do both. At least be flexible. If you can throw a little spontaneity in there because your flexibility plan isn't working, come up with something else. If you can do it on the fly, great. If you've got plan Z, that's also fine.
She's making fun of me.
A little bit, yeah. A little bit. I'm going to get a little mini tattoo for Rara next time we do anything with Sharpies, and I'm going to write plan Z.
Yes! And then I go to the the Greek alphabet afterward, just in case those are not enough.
Are you going to do shapes too?
If I have to. I'm hoping I don't need that
Why
many.
Why Greek alphabet? Why not Hebrew?
Because I know alpha, beta, zeta. I know aleph, bet, get, and then I'm done.
Okay. Well, at least you got something.
Right? Yeah. Hopefully it never comes to that. I usually don't need that many plans.
Okay. But when we're doing our show notes and stuff, you're the one that writes it paragraphs. And then I go in and I'm like, this needs to be a bullet point, lady. Come on. This is like way too much. You're very verbose.
It's really done because that's the way the system takes it.
Okay.
Stop picking on me.
Listen, lady, you're going to get this for a long time. As long as you're stuck with me, you're going to get stuck with me picking on you.
You know what? You give Virgos a bad name without better planning.
I never said I didn't plan. I just said I'm more flexible and spontaneous than you are.
That's not a Virgo. That's not what Virgos do.
Yes, it is. Virgos just have the plan available. It doesn't mean I can't change the plan.
I change the plan. If A doesn't work, I go to B. If B doesn't work, I go to C. If C doesn't work, I go to D.
Okay.
Now, I feel so called out.
Do you hear what I just said? The okay? That's my safe word.
Is it?
Yeah, actually, all it right. is. Because when it's too much and I forget how to say red, I end up going, okay.
Okay. See, now I learned. This is why communication is important.
Yeah, I forgot to mention that to you.
We need to communicate safe words.
Okay, but we're not a long-distance relationship.
No, you're right there. I can touch you.
Yeah, I can poke you in the boob.
We're touching.
All right, so
can
anyway.
We continue since we've gone once again off on a tangent? I don't think it would be a pink kink episode if we didn't at least go off on one tangent.
I know, but
more.
We always have to circle back.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, circling back. After you've talked all the details and you've written it down and you have your plan 27 or whatever the hell you've got going on, the beginning is still going to be kind of rocky. You're going to have to evolve. You're going to have to adjust. And that's where the flexibility comes in.
Yeah, because what sounds like a good plan may not actually work.
Right.
But you're not going to know if you don't try it.
So test it out. Play around with it a little bit. Mix it up a little bit. Maybe pull in some stuff from column B that would normally be in column C and throw it in column A. I don't know what I just said, but it sounded good
at the time. It sounded good. Within long-distance relationships, there are a lot of things you can still do to be connected to the other person. Example, good morning and good night messages.
Pretty standard, actually.
I know one of my rules was, especially because I was the later time zone. As soon as I woke up, it was my job to send Daddy a message. Good morning. Because he wasn't going to bother to send me messages and stuff when I'm sleeping anyway. Mm-hmm. So I would send a good morning message so he would know she's awake. We can now communicate.
I had that with my sub as well, my long distance sub. He was 3 hours behind me, so he was required to send me the good morning message. And then I would send him the good night because he would always be up for later than I would. So I actually had more of a bedtime than he did. I would tell him, look, you have to go to bed at this time. I think we started out with me requiring him to send me a good night text message before he actually went to bed, and then I'd see it in the morning. But that kind of went by the wayside because it was almost useless.
Yeah. I also sent a good night message because I had a bedtime. So by sending a good night message, it was sort of proof that I was following that
was
bedtime.
Was it really proof?
It's, as I said, sort of.
It made the effort.
It showed at least I was thinking about going to bed.
Okay. I mean, okay. Brat sub side of me would copy and paste that and be like, all right, it's that time. I'd have my alarm. Okay. I got to copy and paste. And then I'd stay up and keep reading.
See, good girl, I was in bed when I'd send the good night message. Didn't mean I was going to sleep, but I was in bed.
I'd be more likely to. Well, okay. So I think the 14-hour time difference one was not as strict because we didn't have the formal declaration of dom sub. It was more of an informal thing, but he would encourage me to go to bed at a certain time. And that basically meant logging off the game at a certain time, which again, didn't really sit well because I was very, very into the game and the social aspects of the game. And I was very into the everything that we were doing as a group. So I resisted that one.
But here's an interesting question. Did he come up with the idea of you having to log off by a certain time? Or did you ask for rules that would help you go to sleep at reasonable hours?
I honestly don't remember. I think it was him that suggested it.
See, I think that's where the issue is, because I wanted to make sure I was getting enough sleep. And for me, I'll stay up until all hours of the night, either reading, social media, or alternating. Mm-hmm. So I always, whenever I've been in a dom sub relationship, I have always asked for a bedtime, because for some reason, if it's a rule, I'll follow it. If it's just my knowing I need to do it, but I have no rules and nobody to please other than myself, I ignore it. So for me, it was like, if I'm told I have to by a certain time, the odds are I'm going to follow it because I asked for that level.
See, for me, I can monitor myself a lot better than that. So with him, if I'm working, I'm going to monitor myself and I'm going to be able to go to bed at a certain time. And usually I just start passing out at that time. If I'm on a vacation, I'm just like, yep, I don't have to go to work. I'm going to stay up until this time. I don't care. I could be watching a TV show that I'm super into and binging that and be like, oh my God, that happened. Okay, I got to keep going. I could be reading a book. I've stayed up and I've read an entire book in under 6 hours, and it just happened to be an overnight once because I couldn't put it down. So if I was really concerned about it, if it was affecting my work, if it was affecting my health, then yes, I would probably ask for it. At the time, it was not.
Okay.
So I don't believe I asked for it. It was just something he was concerned about.
I'm just curious if that makes it easier.
It probably would. It's just that in my case, I don't necessarily need it because I put myself to bed.
Yeah, I will stay up until all hours if I don't have rules.
Got you.
I'm a good girl, except about my bedtime. I'm really bad about that. That's why I have to have it.
And flossing.
No, I do it now. Now I
no,
do it.
But at the time, I
at
remember
the time,
you said
right?
You
I
didn't.
Made it a rule, and I don't know what it is, and I'm sure other submissives will find the same thing, that we know what we need to do. We're not stupid. We're adults. We know the things that we need to and should do, and yet until it becomes a rule and it becomes about pleasing our dom, we don't do it.
We
but all of
care.
A sudden, once it becomes a rule and you want to please your dom, then all of a sudden you do it.
The quintessential one for that is candy for breakfast.
You mean that's bad?
I've been told, yes.
They're wrong.
Yeah, well, I've been told that cheesecake for breakfast is also bad, but I don't think so.
See, this is your problem. It needs to be a peanut. It needs to be Reese's peanut butter cups, and I'll tell you why.
Okay, I was thinking gummy bears.
Because, no, Reese's peanut butter cups are the perfect breakfast.
Tell
right?
me.
They've got peanut butter in it.
Yes.
Protein. That's a great breakfast thing.
Yes.
You've got your chocolate with your sugar,
okay,
right?
So caffeine?
But exactly. Nobody thinks twice about having a mocha for breakfast. What is that? Chocolate, caffeine, and sugar.
She's pointing at me.
Because I have justified Reese's peanut butter cups for breakfast before, and I will continue to stand my ground on that.
Listen.
Sorry.
Listen,
I digress.
I'm just going to tell you right now that no dom is going to ever tell you that Reese's peanut butter cups are okay. Neither is your dentist, your doctor, your mother, your best friends, your entire girl group, anybody that knows you, and anybody that knows about diabetes. Just saying.
Your point is?
It's bad. So no, you can't actually justify that. I'm just going to put that out there in the stratosphere.
It's my story and I'm sticking to
it. Okay, but can we please justify cheesecake for breakfast? Because that would
be
great.
I'm waiting. I'm sitting. Go ahead. Justify for breakfast.
Dairy.
That's true. And?
Fruit on top.
Oh, yes. So you get your fruit in. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Keto, because if you take out the crust.
Okay, but then isn't it cheesecake if you take out the crust? That's just cheese. That's no cake. It's just cheese.
No. It is baked cheese, sour cream, and egg. Oh, there's an egg in it. Can you tell I've got cheesecake in the refrigerator right now that I made the other day?
Say, can you tell that we're littles?
Oh, my God. Anyway.
Only people who identify within the little umbrella would be trying to justify Reese's peanut butter cups and cheesecake for breakfast.
Sarah.
I've made Reese's peanut butter cheesecakes before.
Oh.
They are good.
Oh, no. Are you sure you want to make cookies next week and not do a peanut butter cheesecake?
No, I've had to give up chocolate, remember?
Oh, shit. All right, let's make a peanut butter cheesecake then.
Okay.
And then I'll just drizzle chocolate sauce on it.
I don't know. Should we come out of little space and back into long distance?
But no, I'm that was actually part of it. I'm justifying this now.
Okay.
Long distance relationship.
Check off tangent number
7.
7? Okay.
I think it was 7. Okay. Anyway, wherever the hell we're at. How Okay, yeah. How is your, I had to remember, how is your dom going to know you're not just sitting there having cheesecake and Reese's peanut butter cups for breakfast?
Well,
are you going to tell them?
If not, that if your dom has that level of concern, this falls into two categories. One, if your dom has that level of concern, you can require pictures of what they're eating.
Okay. So in that case, I'm going to have something healthy over here on my second plate to take a picture of.
Right.
And then put it away.
Well, then it's up to the dom. If there's still that issue of not trust, then maybe this isn't the relationship.
Yeah. But I'm also, I don't actually do that. I don't think I have ever done that. I'm just thinking of ways to get around it right now. And I'm like, ooh, that's actually pretty easy. So how are you supposed to know? I'm not discouraging long distance relationships. I enjoy them.
But think about it.
I'm just saying, it's interesting that you can fuck it up.
Except you can do that even if you're not in a long distance relationship, as long as you're not living together, or even if you're living together.
Oh, even if you're living together, there's ways to do
that. If one of you goes to work earlier than the other,
mm-hmm.
or like me, I pack my food and take it with me, unless they're inspecting my lunchbox. They don't know what's packed in there. So that's the whole thing. It's trust. I mean, DS, not DS, it doesn't matter. It's about trust.
Daddy and I may have found donuts and Nutty Buddies in each other's cars and trash cans and offices okay. before.
All right. When we're offline, I'll show you how to hide things better. Not that I would know, because I would never, never do something like that.
Daddy, she's not telling me that. Don't listen to this episode.
Okay? Just between you and I. Got it. Nobody else needs to know.
You know, the whole okay. world.
Anyway, so some of the other things you can do, because let's get back on topic here again, is provide your dom with your schedule for the day.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So that they know not only what you're doing and when, but that helps tell the other person, when could I even contact you? Like sometimes my dom had meetings
mm-hmm.
and his phone had to be off and I couldn't text him during those meetings.
Well, you could. It just wouldn't go through. Right. And you'd have to be understanding of the fact that he's in a meeting. The phone is off. He is not going to get back to you at that point.
Right. And by knowing what a schedule was, I knew whether or not I would get a response. The same thing. We had a rule in place about when he would go out on dates. I knew he was going out on dates. I was absolutely permitted to text him during those times with the understanding I probably wasn't going to hear back.
Mm-hmm.
And that was fine with me. I wanted that same respect from his other partners when he was with me.
So, you know, the whole schedule thing with mine, it kind of is wishy-washy depending on where I'm at in my day with the job. I've got a set time, but at any point during that time, I could either be going dark randomly. There is no actual schedule. I can look at my phone sometimes, sometimes I can't. And the time is never the same.
But in a long-distance relationship, what I would recommend then, if I were your dom, I would say, before you go dark, just send me a message saying, I'm going dark.
Well,
or maybe I just knew that from this time, you may or may not be available. And it just becomes a very generic thing.
It is. It's literally for me, it's just whenever I have something going on and I can't pick up the phone at the time, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
If you text me during that time, it may be an hour, hour and a half, whatever it is, before I can pick up my phone again. It's random. Yeah.
Something else you can do is pick out outfits. My dom picked out my outfit every day. So whatever I was wearing, it felt like I was together with him because I knew it was what he wanted to be picked out.
Similar for me and my husband, my daddy. When we first started dating, it was about an hour to an hour and a half of a drive. So we didn't see each other during the week. It was weekends only. Every once in a while, we would meet for like a weeknight date. But for the most part, we didn't. And I think that was 6 months until we decided we were going to move in together, that kind of thing. Every week, I would send him a picture. Every week, I would send him a picture of my panties. I would do the laundry. I would fold them. I would put them in like a very highly organized row and column situation. And I would send him the picture.
That makes me happy.
Yeah. They were pretty cute.
Charts make me happy.
It was very organized. And I would send him the picture and he would tell me every morning, because he would get up way earlier than me at the time. He had a very long commute to his job. So he would send me a message before he even woke up. And that was the first thing I would see was, good morning, princess. Wear this today. He still tells me that, except now he picks them out himself for the most part. If he forgets and he's on his way to work and I text him and I say, hey, what am I wearing today? He'll tell me a color. But at the time when we were semi long distance, he would actually circle on the picture mm-hmm. or say this color, pink with the stripes or whatever it was. So it wasn't the full outfit like yours, but he still picked something.
Right.
This week's episode is sponsored by an incredibly talented photographer, Jay Yee. Jay offers a wide variety of vanilla photo shoots such as headshots, conventions, weddings, family photos, dating profile photos, proposals, and more. Rara and I have known Jay for years, and when his clients have given permission, we've been able to see some of his photos, and wow, we are amazed at how he is able to capture a moment in time that shows the joy and beauty of the people in the photo. I remember seeing some maternity shots that he did, and the mother was glowing. I can only imagine how it will feel to look back on those photos years from now and remember the excitement she felt that was so clearly captured in the photos. But what's so cool about Jay is he is a kinkster himself, so he also offers amazing kink photos. He can do solo shoots, such as boudoir photos, or couple shoots, like a collaring ceremony. Maybe you want professional shots of your scenes, like rope suspension. If you have an idea, Jay can probably make it happen. He works throughout the Maryland, Virginia, and DC areas, but he's also willing to travel to some parts of West Virginia. You can reach out to Jay to discuss your photo needs either through his website at www.jyeephoto.com. That's JYIPHOTO.com, or even through FetLife. His handle is ISO800. And if you visit his website, which we will list in the show notes, you can see some of his beautiful work. So if you need someone to help you capture those once-in-a-lifetime moments, check out jyephoto.com.
There's also the ability to assign a daily mantra, which will help you remember each other. So I had three sentences, if I remember correctly, I mean, it's been like 6 years, three sentences that I would remind myself. One, I was daddy's good girl. Mm-hmm. Two, I was beautiful and special, and I don't remember what the third one was, but every morning when I wake up, it was my job to say those things to remind myself.
Okay.
And
I don't think I ever had anything like that. I'm just thinking. I don't think I did.
Yeah. Of course, we've been talking about sending pictures. Within that, when I would go shopping for new clothes, I would send pictures from the dressing room with me in whatever the outfit was, yay or nay.
I've done that.
And I would get a response back. I remember one time I had an assignment I had to research submissive poses and then take pictures of me in the submissive poses.
I had my 3 hour away sub send me good morning pictures along with his good morning text. Sometimes he'd be on his way to work before he remembered. Sometimes he would do it right when he woke up, grab phone, snapshot. It was him with the pillow behind him. It was actually super cute. He had adorable bedhead. But let's see, I've also done, with the panty picking thing, the rule was when I put them on, I have to take a picture of my butt wearing them, text him that as proof that that is what I was wearing.
I had to do the same thing with the outfit for the day, is take a full picture showing what I look like that day.
So there are interesting ways of doing poses when you have to take a picture of your ass, let me tell you.
Selfie sticks come in real handy for ass pictures.
I never had one, so I was doing the pretzel thing.
Yeah.
Made my ass look really good. I got good at it, but yeah.
And then, of course, there's the tried and true nudes.
Yes, except don't send those on the internet.
If you send it by text, is that the internet?
No. I don't know. Just be careful with those.
Yeah.
Just saying. I love the whole bedtime story thing. Mm-hmm. If you can do it on the phone, and you've got that voice reading you a bedtime story or making up a story. I used to do that to my sub.
Mm-hmm.
It was really sweet.
I had one night we went to sleep with our computers open on Skype. And we went to sleep that way. And I remember waking up at one point in the middle of the night rolling over. And I could see him
sleeping
in his. And it was just a way to be together.
That's cute.
You know, I mean, it worked beautifully. One of the favorite things we talk about this, even in non-long distance, is the chastity orgasm control.
Yes.
I definitely had rules. I wasn't allowed to masturbate without permission. One of the favorite things, and I actually came up with this, is that before a visit, starting 10 days to 2 weeks before a visit, I was not allowed any orgasms at all. So that when I would finally see him, I was ready.
That must have killed you.
Well, what was really funny, I think the first time we tried that, he picked me up at the airport. I went to go see him. He picked me up at the airport. We were maybe halfway home to his house luckily I flew in at night. I came in late at night and we found an empty parking lot.
Mm-hmm. You were really ready, weren't you?
And we took care of that orgasm issue right then and in the middle of the parking lot, which is its own hotness in and of itself. But that was a fun way of doing it.
FaceTiming when you're masturbating together is a whole different level of phone sex. I'm an auditory person. Phone will do it for me every time. But when you add the video to it and you can see the other person's face and you're saying dirty things to them, oh my God, that is a whole different thing.
Yeah. Even if you can only do it just by phone,
it is hot.
You can talk to each other. I mean, phone sex. Let's go. It's fun.
Have Zoom on. Turn off the video. Turn off the recording. Good to go.
There you go. You can do researching kinks together. Things you want to learn. I mean, the Dom can make it an assignment. You need to research a kink and basically report back.
And that is that's a DS kind of a thing, right? They're telling you this is what they want you to do. And you are required to do it within a certain amount of time. It's a form of control.
Mm-hmm.
That's actually kind of interesting. And for somebody like Rara who gets off to research, that would be beautiful.
I might have had a couple of assignments.
Yeah.
Like that. And it's definitely something that when I have a sub, I would absolutely utilize that. Mm-hmm. Even if I know what the kink is. Just because it helps them learn and grow. And it helps make sure that we are on the same page about particular kinks.
Online journals is a really interesting one, especially if you have it so that the dominant partner can read it. You can do it like a personal journal. You can do it like writing an open letter. You can do it like writing a letter to the dominant. There's all kinds of ways to do it. It's your option.
Yeah. One of the things that I used to do is when I would be upset about something, instead of calling my dom and potentially going off, it was my job to write it up. That's what he asked me to do. He said, write it up. Then I had the option to send it or not send it. If writing it up and going through it in the writing helped me process what I was upset about and work through it, I might choose not to send it to him. Or if after writing it up, I'm like, now I'm ready to discuss it. And then we could discuss it.
Mm-hmm.
And it just made it easier. How about take an online BDSM course together?
See, now that's interesting because with the pandemic, a lot of stuff went on Zoom. And if you're long distance, you can take the same Zoom class and turn your camera on. You can chat in the little side thing. You can text each other while you're taking the class.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like with the onset of everything being online now, it just got a whole lot easier.
Yeah. You could use those way cool smart Bluetooth toys Wevibe.
We did discuss
Love
that
Sense,
before.
Where the Dom has the ability to control it. And the submissive, maybe in the middle of shopping, grocery shopping, all of a sudden, whoo, whoo, but there it goes.
Yeah, I don't think I'd be able to do. Oh my God, wearing that to work, probably a hard limit for me, but the grocery store, maybe.
I used to get assignments of go to the bathroom and masturbate.
Right now, right this second.
No, usually it was at your earliest opportunity.
Okay.
Because, I mean, there might be people who have the kind of job and their Dom knows. I can tell you to go do it right the second. For some people, it may be as soon as you can do it.
Yeah. It depends on the job. And that's where the communication part comes in. It depends on your comfort level as well.
I mean, at some point, you're going to have to go to the bathroom probably.
I don't know. There's people that can probably hold it.
It's not healthy for you, though. So.
Yeah, probably not.
So it gives a whole new meaning to sexting.
Yes.
There's assigned homework. We've talked about a few of these. Like, here's some example. You can write lines. Write down the phrase, I must do as I'm told or face the consequences 250 times neatly and with fewer than 3 errors per page.
That is oddly specific. Did you assign that or were you assigned that one?
I was assigned that one.
Mm-hmm.
I think I actually do it more than 250. And boy, did my fucking hand hurt.
I bet.
But after I did it, I was required to take pictures of every single page. And the pages were numbered. I had to number the page.
Holy shit.
And I sent pictures of it. I think it ended up being 6 pages.
And you had to send pictures of every single one.
Oh, yeah.
Damn. Did he figure out if there were any errors?
I don't know. I think it was one of those trust issues.
Oh, boy.
And, you know, I'm a good girl. So if you are going to assign something to me, I will do it. And I will and I'm also a competitive good girl. So not only will I do it right, but I'll probably do it better than you thought it could be done because fuck you, I'm going to show you. I don't know. Maybe I'm not a very good submissive. I'm just like going.
No, but you're doing the thing that they told you to do. So sure.
I like being challenged and I like being underestimated and then proving you wrong.
Hmm. Sounds like an interesting kink.
Is that? I'm sure that must be kink, right? You think?
I don't know.
Is there a name for it?
I don't know. I think you get off to it, though.
I do. There's nothing I enjoy more than proving that what you thought I couldn't do, I can.
Okay.
As I said, it's a big fuck you, and I love that. And I don't know why. And I don't know if maybe it makes me more of a bottom than a submissive, but it's just, yeah.
It depends on you. It depends on your relationship with the other person. It depends on what you want to identify as. It depends on what the other person wants you to identify as, but
But if you're a dom and you want to be involved with me, just know that that's going to be my attitude.
She's a bit of a brat.
Is that a brat, though? If I'm doing what you told me to do, is that being a brat?
Well, that's a deep philosophical question for another day. I'm going to go on to research.
Fine.
That might be something we need to research, Rara, if that is being a brat.
That's a good question. Okay, let's think about that. Let's do an episode on brats and we'll just include that.
Okay.
All right. All right, research, sorry.
Yes. Anyway, so for example, finding a specific number of images or video clips or stories or whatever the hell else fits the bill and of something that your partner has a fetish for.
As I said, I did that with submissive poses, the Gorian, however one pronounces it. There are certain submissive poses.
Yes.
I had to research them, and then I had to take pictures of myself in those poses.
I have assigned that myself to certain submissives, yes.
And we didn't follow Gore. Mm-hmm. We were not that level of chicness. It was just a fun assignment that could be done long distance.
For me, it was more like a high protocol kind of thing because I wanted them to be able to do it as soon as I told them a number.
Yeah. We weren't high protocol. Again, it was just for something to do to connect us long distance.
I used to be more high protocol than I am now. I've gotten a little bit more loosey-goosey about it.
Mm-hmm. We've got learning a new skill. For me, I was just getting into impact. So it was hit myself on the ass with my hairbrush 20 times.
Okay.
Or my thighs or whatever. You could do practice walking in your 6-inch heels.
I would not You'd be know. Able to do that. I'd fall flat on my face. Right. I do that barefoot, sneakers, flip-flops.
I've seen it. She's not wrong, people.
I will trip walking down the sidewalk.
Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, I broke my arm doing that, so that was fun.
Okay.
All right. So another one is memorization. Memorizing a certain set of rules. Memorizing the mantras that you were told to say whatever day it was. Hell, you could do a punishment. Memorize this poem and record yourself saying it on video without looking at something else.
Right.
And back in the day, that would have been a lot harder. Now you just tack it up on the wall.
Don't give away the secrets and help the brats.
No, I'm helping...
Because that's something a brat would do.
Yeah, I actually do have a bit more of a bratty mentality than I realized, I think.
Yeah, and as I said, for me, it's like, even if I could do that, I wouldn't because that would defeat my purpose of proving to you I can do whatever the fuck you challenge me with.
And to me, it's working smarter, not harder.
Yep. Oh my God.
So, whatever.
You could have chores. Clean and polish your entire collection of shoes, which might take some people 5 minutes. Some of us, it might take longer. We have few shoes. Look, when I moved from Arizona to the DC area, I put everything out so that I would know what I was taking and wasn't. Mm-hmm. And I counted 200 pairs of shoes.
Pairs.
So I got it down. I gave away so many. I literally got it down to 50 to move. And then the collection started back up once I moved here.
I think I currently own maybe 10 pairs of shoes.
The sad part is I probably only wear about 10 pairs, but I have them if I need them.
Wow. Hey, look, I've got indoor flip-flops and outdoor flip-flops.
Well, yes.
Okay. Okay, there's another one, like keeping a diary, and that goes along with what we were talking about earlier. You can have online journals, you can have paper ones, maybe the diary... is make a notation every time you masturbate. Okay, so funny story about that. Way back in the day, I interned for a place that was putting up, I don't know how much of this information I can get away with saying. It was a very famous person and we had their diary. They were dead. We were putting it up for online for posterity. My job was to transcribe it onto the computer so we could put it up, take pictures, all that good stuff. We discovered that this person had little hash marks in the corners of their diary every day. Ooh. And we started to look a little deeper into that and do a little more research. Turns out this particular famous person would put a little hash mark on every day of his diary that he had sex.
how often did this person have
it
sex?
Was every hash mark included was sex. And it was masturbation. It was sex. It was everything.
Was it daily?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Dude was a...
Good for him.
Mm-hmm. Well, we noticed this when he was writing about his wife being sick. There were still hash marks.
Okay, well, masturbation.
No, that was sex because he wrote about that too in the diary. But then there was also when he was sick, There wasn't any for like a couple of weeks. And we were like, okay, this is fascinating. So be like that person and you can make little notations every time you, I don't know, masturbate. Every time they tell you to masturbate, date it, make a little hash mark, write about it, and then take a picture, send it to the dominant. It could be something like that.
You can't.
I'll tell you later who that person was. It was actually kind of interesting. I knew you're looking at me like, who is it?
Now I want to know. All right. Then there's the fun personal shopping.
Okay.
I like to shop. What can I say?
It's personal shopping, not like having a personal shopper.
No.
I was like, shopping, what does that have to do with it?
Shopping, meaning shopping for me.
Like personal items?
Some of it.
Okay. Sexy items.
So, for instance, buying a toy.
Mm-hmm.
Like I bought a new dildo. Mm-hmm. And then had to take video of my using said dildo.
Oh, my.
My sir gave me the assignment of using a cucumber.
What?
Okay, who hasn't used a fucking cucumber or a hairbrush at some point in their life? Really?
Yeah, food don't go in the cooch. Sorry, no.
I mean, it probably shouldn't.
No, food don't go in the cooch.
And definitely don't eat it once it has gone in the cooch. But yeah.
No, food don't go in the cooch. Sorry. That's a no-no. That's a one-way ticket to antibiotic land. As I drop all my shit.
See, anyway. I shocked the shit out of her, so she started to drop things.
I'm like flailing and I started hitting all the electronics that are around here.
So of all the strange things that I've done, and I have done a lot, that's the one that's just sending you off?
No, needles. Every time we talk about it, it sends me off. Staples. Okay. Every time we talk about it, sends me off.
Which
the
is worse? The
fucking butterfly sets me off.
So what's the worst of all of that? The cucumber and the cooch? Or... those things.
Okay, look, the cucumber in the cooch gives me the heebie-jeebies because now I'm thinking, God damn, that's a one-way ticket to a yeast infection. But the butterfly turned me gray and freaked me the fuck out. So...
well, the coochie cucumber.
The coochie cucumber. Oh my God. The coochie cumber. Or should we just call it the cooch cumber? I see a new sticker. The cooch cumber. Oh God, she can't breathe. Breathe, Rara. Breathe.
Drink. This one needs a whole 8 ounces, not just a sip.
Oh, look at her cry. That's good. I won that round. Thank you very much.
The cucumber.
The cucumber. It's cucumber.
Cucumber. Is that what I said?
You said cucumber. There's a huge difference.
The cooch-cumber.
Oh, no cooch salami, okay?
No, line. No, salami line. Doesn't, no, no. Also, that's not the meat that I'm putting there. I got her.
That one hurt. I think I sucked brain up into that. Oh,
I think by the end of this episode, the listeners are going to be drunk.
Depends on what they're drinking. Hey, guys, have some for me. I can't right now.
No.
Because we're recording.
Okay, apparently. So is this where we have to be responsible adults and tell people don't stick food in your cooch?
Yes. Don't stick food in your cooch.
So I shouldn't tell you that the first time a woman went down on me, I had a grape there and she sucked it out. I wish I could take a picture of your face right now. I was at a truth or dare game night, a sexy truth or dare game night. And that was one of the dares. So I stuck a grape there and the woman sucked it out. Actually, it was her dare. And I volunteered because she was sexy. And I'd never had a woman down there. And I figured if I was going to do something for the first time, I wanted her to be sexy. Are you okay there? There's like there's this dead stare and silence. I'm not used to Dar being silent. want.
Do you realize that you have just continued to talk and tell me this story while I'm staring at you like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
Because you always look at me like, what the fuck is wrong with me?
Okay, that's accurate.
If I stopped just because you gave me that look, I would never say a word because you usually give me that look.
That's pretty much a permanent feature on my face, yeah.
What? Am I that weird? Don't answer that.
Do you see the look on my face right now?
I do. They don't.
Do you see the look on my face right now? Were you asking me?
You're not saying, okay. Were you, there was no stop word.
But are you really asking me if I think you are that weird? Is that an actual question?
It was rhetorical. Okay. I already know your answer.
PSA, don't stick food in the cooch, okay? It's dangerous. It's
the whole
antibiotics and the pain and the ugh. Okay, that's it.
Okay. I guess I just won't tell you anymore.
Yeah, probably a good idea, because I will still look at you with that look on my face like, what the fuck?
It's going to get permanently etched on your face as we continue to do this.
I think you are giving me wrinkles.
Here's what's really funny is I always thought of myself as being somewhat prudish when it came to this stuff.
Hi!
And you are pointing out that apparently I'm a whole lot more adventuresome than I thought I was.
No.
Which, yay for me.
I'm the prude in this duo, for sure. No, I'm just, my whole, like, I can't get over the whole safety concerns and the urinary tract infection potential of that. So as sexy as it may be to some people, I can't wrap my head around it.
I mean, here's the reality. If you are prone to those things, then yes, you have to be more careful.
Put a condom on it.
So I should put a condom on my cooch-cumber?
That would probably make it a little safer.
So should we sell cooch-cumber condoms?
No.
With the PK on it?
They should be green with pink stripes.
No, pink and green go really well together.
They do, actually. They do.
So there's a merch. We were talking about merchandise earlier, potential merchandise. Here we go. Cooch-cumber condoms.
Image I can't get out of my head. I'm gonna tell you something, Rot. You cannot gouge out your mind's eye, and that's just there. Drink, she's crying.
I would say you were snorting, but even you started the silent laugh. You were laughing so hard.
I think I saw stars at that point.
I'm not right. I tell you this all the time.
Oh, it seemed like a good idea at the time, right? Can we talk about punishments?
Yeah, because I think you're going to punish me soon if I don't stop.
I'm going to grab a cooch-cumber and hit you with it at this point. You know what? I'm done. I will never be able to look at a cucumber again. Ever. I will never be able to say cucumber. It is cooch-cumber forever. Done.
Holy shit!
Fuck it. The rest of the episode is over. Thank you for listening today. Rara is going to just fall over and die in the middle of our studio. I'm going to have to tell her next of kin.
She died by cooch-cumber.
Okay, I'm okay. Do they have to drink because I'm crying now?
Yeah. Oh, they'd drink a lot more if I got you to cry.
Oh. This hurts.
I know, my ribs are hurting.
Oh, God.
Okay. All right, should we talk about punishments now?
What?
Punishments.
Okay.
Long distance punishments.
Mm-hmm. So you should, you know, do that.
Okay. Well, you get yourself back. Okay.
Yeah.
Deep breath, everybody. Ready? Okay. Now, punishments are much harder.
Don't look at me like that if you want me to get back on track.
All right, I'll look this way at my notes and not look at you, and maybe we can get it back together. So punishments are much harder when you have a long distance because you can't just spank someone. have this? Mm-hmm. You sure? Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, got it. Some ideas of punishments that will work in long distance relationships is you can have them put a rubber band around their wrist and ping it.
Is that snapping?
Snapping, pinging. Okay. It just it makes a ping sound when you do it. So that's
no, it makes a sound. I don't know what that was. That's not the sound it makes.
Oh my god!
But that's the closest approach.
It's gonna take us 5 hours because we can't hold it together.
Maybe we should drink. Would that calm us down?
I don't know.
Oi! Uh-huh.
Okay, so we keep talking about the fact that we get a little goofy during these episodes. I hope you guys enjoy this. I hope you guys are laughing as hard as we're laughing. Please let us know. We would love to make sure that you guys are okay with this.
Please give us some feedback, because right now all we've got is our patrons, and they're for it, so we keep doing it, mostly because we can't help it.
And honestly, even if you don't like it, I don't know that we can necessarily stop.
Too bad, so sad. I think it's kind of a permanent feature now.
Because we keep saying, when we get together, it's a party. So this is our party.
It's a party of two. Anyway, can also apply clips. Or clothes pegs or whatever. Oh my god.
Clothespins, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, see, for those of us who are masochists, it wasn't a punishment. I was told to put 100 clothespins on my body. Now here's the problem. I was given very specific instructions. There were 30 on each breast, 30 on the cooch.
So that just goes to show you how big her boobs are.
Yeah. I fit 30 without a problem. And then 10 on the tongue. So the funny thing is I fit the 30 on the cooch. Fit the 30 on each breast. My tongue was too small to fit 10. I ran out of room after 5. So, unfortunately, I was defeated, and I only did 95.
You could have put more on your boobs.
That wasn't what I was told to do.
Oh. Well, anyway, the point is, for people who are not masochists and enjoy bullshit like that, like rah-rah, then that would definitely be a punishment, and no one in their right goddamn mind would ever assign me 100. It would be more like 3.
Oh, my God.
That would be enough for me.
Butt plugs. Have them wear butt plug for a certain amount of time.
Again, to some people, that would not be a punishment.
No. But if you have to wear butt plug for several hours.
Ooh, or just, you know, drive, go to the grocery store with a butt plug on, that'd be humiliating.
Yeah, sometimes being out in public with these things underneath you, not wearing underwear out in public.
Yes.
You know, anything you can think of that somebody could take video or pictures of to prove to you that it was done.
Mm-hmm.
You can have them. Oh, I like this one. Have them eat something they don't enjoy, such as, let's say, have them suck on a lemon. It won't hurt them, but ooh, that's sour taste.
Yeah, that would probably work for, well, that wouldn't work for me. I actually kind of like it. Ooh, like suck on a warhead or something.
A what?
A warhead, the candy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like that ultimate sour that turns your face inside out. That I don't enjoy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, you know, the whole thing with the punishments is they have to be negotiated beforehand.
Of course.
So when we talked earlier about planning, and writing it all down, list out punishments. Come up with punishments beforehand. And negotiate and discuss any new punishment ideas before you apply them. Because you don't have the right to set up a punishment that your submissive says no to.
Right. And again, it should be something that can be verified. So if you want proof that your submissive is completing the punishment, go ahead and make it something that you can get proof provided to you. Mm-hmm. If you're going to just trust that they do it, make sure that you don't have someone who's like me, who's going to do the whole work smarter, not harder thing and try to get away with shit.
Right. Much better someone like me who's going to do it and do it because we can and we're going to prove to you.
Damn good thing I didn't get punished that much.
Just because this is long distance does not mean that you get away with not doing aftercare.
Absolutely not. And in fact,
aftercare is crucial. I know for me, just when I would see my long distance Dom, when we would be together, that entire timeline together was pretty much an extended scene. Because for the first time, I could be truly my submissive self with my Dom and following all the rules and regulations in person. So what would happen is when I would come home, I would drop.
Oh, yeah.
And aftercare is just essential, even and especially in these situations, because damn, after pretty much a week long scene, you can only imagine how nasty, ugly the drop was.
Well, so my very first drop, my very first sub drop was with that 14-hour time difference guy. And I was basically high for 3 days after it. And he would message me and he'd say, you're good, you know, what's going on? Because he was expecting the drop. Neither one of us realized that it was going to come 3 days later. And it was during a time where he wasn't available because he thought it was done and that I wouldn't need it and it was over because I'd never mentioned that because I didn't know. So just be stupid careful.
One of the things that I discovered that really, really helped me with aftercare is every time I visited him, I would take his, I would take one of his t-shirts that he had worn and not washed. And for some reason with him in particular, the pheromones, his scent just did it for me. I mean, I would sometimes, I'd curl up in his lap with my nose in his neckline and just sniff him.
I do that currently.
Right?
Well, so if daddy goes on a business trip or something and we have like a week long time where we're not in the same house, sucks, he will spray something with his cologne or put his deodorant on my stuffy.
Yeah.
Or something like that. So I can cuddle it and I still have his scent.
Right.
So that does, that's helped.
Yeah. What I would do is I would take his shirt and I'd wrap it up in a Ziploc bag and seal it. And I would put it in my drawer. And I swear, like a freaking junkie, sometimes if I felt really down, I would go up, I would open up the bag, I'd pull out the shirt and I would sniff it like it was a drug, you know? And just get it. And then I quickly seal it back up so the scent would stay. And then when I would see him next, I would return that shirt and get a fresh one.
Do you see the look on my face right now? Is it familiar to you?
See why I pay no attention? Because that is how you look at me the majority of the time. Okay, but putting deodorant on your stuffy, that's not weird?
No, because I didn't put it in a baggie and put it in a drawer and take it out.
Because you only had a week apart. I had 3 months.
No, well, look, I had a relationship once where I took his sweatshirt home with me and I don't think I gave it back for a year. And I would visit him every 3-4 months or so, maybe two at that point. Yeah,
but the point is the smell goes away eventually.
Yeah, but it was still his sweatshirt.
It was the smell that I found comforting.
Eventually, he got my own damn sweatshirt and the fact that it was from him.
To me, a t-shirt is a t-shirt. I didn't care whether it was a t-shirt, pants, whatever it was the smell.
I have worn holes into the sweatshirt that he gave me.
Mm-hmm. I also had, you know, extra time on the phone with him. You know, we would only talk once a week. We text constantly throughout the day, but we would only actually have a phone call. We had a date where we'd have a phone call. When we would see each other and then to help with the drop, we might have two or three that week.
Right.
Yeah, as I that makes basically sense. Weaned myself from going from hearing him and being with him, because it wasn't even like I would just see him and I'd only see him a couple of hours. I mean, I was with him 24/7 for that week and then going back to now not being with him at all. So
what about people that don't see their partner, period, at all?
If you have to deal with aftercare, that's when the video chats, the phone calls are really essential. I know that there are these stuffies that you can get with voice.
Oh, yes.
So you can record a message.
I think you record it into the heart and then you put it in there.
Right, yeah. And they press a button on the stuffy and they get the voice.
Hey, Build-A-Bear has aftercare toys.
They do. So there's those things that you can do. I would have my Dom leave me voice messages that I saved. And I could call, you know, I could pull those up and listen to them when I found myself experiencing sub drop or feeling sad or lonely.
Or just texting praise. If they did a punishment and they sent you the picture of the bruises or the marks or whatever the hell you want, send them lots and lots of praise afterwards. Right. So you can do it for a couple days afterwards.
Yeah. If you are doing a punishment or a scene by phone, when it ends, don't just hang up right after.
Right.
Stay on the line longer and talk them down, just as you would if you were in person. Have that time for the person to come back to themselves. So that's just some ideas. If you guys have more ideas of things that you do in your long distance relationships, please share them with us so others can help, can be helped by that information. There are as many different ways to do things as there are people doing it.
Yeah. So if you have other ideas, we would love to hear them. We usually do. Just send them to us. Maybe we can add them to like a punishment, long distance, whatever resource. Make something up like that.
All right. So that's it for long distance relationships today.
Thank you for hanging out with us today. If you have a question you would like answered, or just have a story about the lifestyle you want to share, you can send us a voicemail, and maybe it will be shared in a future episode. Just go to pinkkinkpodcast.com to contact us.
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and FetLife at the handle Pink Kink Podcast. Join our Facebook group, Pink Kink Podcast, and hang out with other pink kinksters.
If you love what we do and are able to help support us, we are on Patreon. Just look for us on patreon.com/pinkkinkpodcast.
Even if you can't show your support financially, there are other ways you can help. You can spread the word about our kinky podcast and tell your friends about us. You can also rate and review Pink Kink on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. The 5-star reviews really help.
Don't forget to subscribe to Pink Kink so you don't miss a minute of the fun. New episodes come out every Friday.
So until next time, stay pretty, stay safe,
and stay twisted.